Welcome to the Heart Kids podcast. My name is Tani Jash and I'm a proud Yuin Kamilaroi woman and a journalist. I was also born with a heart condition. Over the next few weeks, I'll be presenting a series of episodes looking at Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's experiences of childhood heart disease. Before we begin, we'd like to acknowledge that this podcast is being recorded on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, otherwise known as Sydney. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and the land that you're listening in from today. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging and pass that respect on to any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners. Today I'm chatting with Lynette Bullio. Lynette's son Jalil was diagnosed with rheumatic heart disease in 2018 when he was just 7 years old. To protect his heart, Lynette now takes Jalil into her local clinic in Cairns in North Queensland to get an antibiotic injection every 4 weeks. Today, she joins us to share their journey. Welcome, Lynette. It's so great to have you on the podcast today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Lovely, lovely. It's so good to have you joining us. Before we start, I might get you to tell us a little bit about yourself, where your family comes from and where you're joining us from today.
Yeah. Born and raised in Cairns, far north Queensland. My family ties back to Moa Island, St. Paul's. Traditional name is Wag Village. My grandfather, he was removed, or he was given the exemption to come down way back then. So he took him, my grandmother and my dad then and moved down to Cairns. And I'm one of eight siblings. I'm the youngest. And yeah, we've been living in Cairns all our life. I've just got Jalil, my one son. He was born in 2010, surprise baby he was, but a true blessing. I'm living, there's just me and him at the moment, single mother, I work full-time, and just Jalil's in grade six this year. He's doing really well. He's an amazing kid,
That's lovely. And, hearing about your story, it sounded like it's been a bit of a journey for you both and, hearing about Jalil being diagnosed with rheumatic heart disease when he's only seven, that must have been really tough for you. Can you walk me through what happened and how you knew something was wrong?
Yeah, I think back then I had gone to work and he had gone to school that day, and that afternoon he came home and he was limping, and my cousin, he had seen it. And he told me that he tripped at school. I said, okay, well, it's just a trip, so he should be right, I'll send him back to school on the Thursday. This was the last week of school going into June, July holidays. So Wednesday, Thursday, he was still the same, but he could walk. By Friday, I left him with my sister that day and I went to work and I finished at 3 o'clock. By the time I got home, we could see that face. He was just in so much pain. And, I was like, what's going on? He just said everything was just so painful. And I said, we've got to go to the doctor. He didn't want to go. And it was like 3 o'clock. And by the time I took him to the doctor, it was 8 o'clock. At that time, that face of a child where they're in, I've never seen that face before, when they're in excruciating pain, that tear, that face, just someone help me, So I took him to the doctors, the 24-hour medical center. And as soon as we walked through the door, those days just will never, he'll never forget, So it's just always, I just play it back in my head all the time. So, so as soon as we walked through the door, the doctor said, oh, he's got rheumatic heart. And I was like, what, and he said, go straight to emergency. So at that time, he was in pain. So at 8 o'clock, we went to emergency and I don't think, going through the doctors, whatever. But probably about 11 o'clock, they took us into the emergency ward. And that was Friday. And we didn't end up coming out of the hospital until that Monday evening. And, he'd say, mum, because they were giving him injections every hour, right throughout the night. And it was just painful for him. He said, stinging, mum. He said, Baba, I can't do anything, we just have to stay here. Do what the doctor says. But and I can't even remember anything from that time, I just didn't know what was going on. And I couldn't tell him anything because I didn't know. When you don't know, you sort of like, you just lost for words, eh, you know. So coughing, you know, just some normal little things, you know. Oh, he's just coughing, he's limp, he fell at school. But, you know, I didn't know it was rheumatic heart. So, yeah, when we had to go back into hospital that Thursday, after we got out on that Monday, then the doctor said he's got acute rheumatic heart fever. I was like, okay, so what is this, you know? But I didn't know how big it was, you know?
Mm.
So I was sort of like, okay, he'll get out of this, you know? But, yeah, then the injections started coming and I was like, that was very traumatic at that part, you know, going, as they say, you know, do everything that the rheumatic heart, you know, professionals come down and say, you go out to the medical center, you know, do whatever, get the needles, but there's no, you know, anti-knock out there or, you know, when he was getting the injection in his thumb, like, you know, they just put the ice on and the cream. But at first it was all right, but then I think, you know, after he started catching on, like, oh, this is happening again, this needle coming again, you know.
Mm.
So, and it just got really hard. And it, some days, like, just that pain, and I got really anxious in the room too with him, and I felt like I had to remove myself a couple of times. I probably wasn't making it any better, you know, to tell you the truth. I just sort of like, but I don't know what he's going through, eh, you know. This is the needle, not just the needle, you know, it's a big needle with all this, you know, medication in there that, you know, to repair that heart. But this is ongoing. It's a one-off thing, like the needle that you get, you know, when you're a baby, you were born, you know, healthy little baby. But, and I remember, like, before he got that, before he had the pains, the joint pains and all that, he did have that strep cough, and it was exactly 2 weeks after. And when I read about it after, and that's what they say, exactly 2 weeks after, it will turn into rheumatic heart, eh, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been like, I think the journey now, you know, before I'd remind him like a couple of weeks before, you know, the 20 days, you know, would come around, and he would just say, nah, I don't want to know, you know, don't tell me about it. And I was sort of like, I wouldn't say anything, you know. But now, like he's in grade six now, he'd remind me, Mum, the injection's coming up. Is it next week? I said, yeah, it is next week. So he'll know. So he's at a better space now, you know. But, you know, it's just, I don't know how to explain it, eh, you know.
Mm. It sounds like it's been quite a journey for you both. And I was just curious, actually, to know, has anyone in the family before had a heart condition, like something really severe like this? Or is this sort of the first time that you've been through it? So I guess why it was so traumatic, or, you know, like a really scary experience.
Yeah. Well, no, not really. I only know my big sister. She's like 50, probably late 50s now. When she was a little girl, she was very sick with a girl. But the doctors back then told her something about her spleen. But then when I tell her, you know, the symptoms of rheumatic heart, and they said, I wonder if I have rheumatic heart. But, you know, like, but other than that, my dad's side is just asthma, lungs, you know, through my dad's side. Nothing as serious as this, you know, affecting your heart. I know asthma is serious too, but, you know, yeah, but nothing, yeah, not in my immediate family. But when I do have conversations with, you know, extended family, it's just like in every second person. And it's just, you know, I've never heard of it before until my son was diagnosed with this rheumatic heart.
And when you were talking about, you know, when Jalil first went through, you know, when he was diagnosed, and then that needle being so painful, how did he, you know, he's in year six now, he's 11 years old, as you were saying there. How did he adjust to it? Like what were some of the things that helped him and also yourself get through that?
Well, first of all, we changed the medical center that we were going to. I'm not going to go through this, you know, this sort of treatment for the rest of my son's, you know, young adult life into, you know, into a man, you know, being treated like this. So we went to the hospital. So the hospital has been Cairns-based hospital. I think it was just a blessing, you know. I just said, we're going this way. There was no looking back after that. I didn't know what was going to happen, you know. They could have told us to go back to the medical center, because that was the thing. they said to us right at the beginning, you have to go to the medical center. But these things, you know, we've been going there ever since 2018. It's 2022 now. So all the things, you know, like the buzzy bee they give, the anti-knock, and just, you know, the nurse comes in and tells all the jokes to, you know, distract him. But I think that main thing is just having that anti-knock there, the gas, to just calm him down because he can't feel anything. I think it's just a matter of he knows it's going in, but he does, you know, hold back a bit. But in the end, probably like, as opposed to being 4 hours, it's probably like maybe 10 minutes an hour, you know, and it's over and done with. So we're up at the hospital there for the injection and then we're gone. So, yeah, there's that difference. And, you know, just the staff up at the Cairns-based hospital, they've just been amazing too. As soon as we get out of the lift and go to reception, you know, like that second family now, eh? So, yeah, it's been good in that way. But, you know, he has his days. I sort of like I reward him after, you know, maybe we'll go out and get our favourite drink or something like that. Or, you know, he loves his Pokemons and stuff like that. So that helps, something to look forward to for him.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's such a great idea, isn't it? Like a treat afterwards after going through something so painful and having to sit through it. And, you know, he's like what you've been saying, he's been doing it now for the last couple of years. So he might have adjusted, but it's still a really painful thing to go through, especially at a young age.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And I said, you know, most adults just like getting needles for that, you know, and this is a young child that has to do it every 28 days, you know, right up until he's 21. You know, I think, like, I don't have issues with needles myself, but, you know, to have it like that, you know, for his young, you know, adult life, yeah.
And just on the needles, for some families, having access to that can be difficult. They might not live close to a clinic or a hospital. Are you guys far from the hospital where Jalil goes and gets his injections?
We're probably like a 5-minute drive. I've, you know, been blessed to have a car, you know, all this time, eh, you know. So it's just literally around the corner for us. So, yeah, we do it first thing in the morning. I take those days off. I have my RDOs, my roster days off on those injection days. So I've been doing that ever since. Before, I was using all my personal leave because I didn't know what was going on, you know, at work. And I said, well, I can't be doing this all the time if it's going to be right up until when he's a young man. So I take those days off and then we do it. We're up there like 9 o'clock in the morning and then Aaron comes out, gets everything ready, and then, yeah, it's just a matter of him allowing that injection to happen. So we just wait, you know, the nurses, they're just so patient up there. Eh? But I think we may have seen the worst part of it over for him, you know, that, well, you know, that trauma still there going through this, but days we can just be in and out as opposed to, you know, some days we were there for like a whole day before he, you know, actually get that injection.
Wow. Is there anything you and Jalil do before his injection or after, just to kind of, like you were mentioning there, if he might get a little Pokemon afterwards? Is there anything you do beforehand just to prep kind of mentally?
Yeah, I think I just, because we come from I've got all my sisters and I just sort of like, we've got a family chat and, you know, I just, sometimes I'll say, you know, can we just say a little prayer for Jalil today, you know, just so that, you know, this afternoon goes. And sometimes I'll take my sisters up with me, you know, just for that extra support if I know it's going to be a bit of a rough day. But, yeah, other than that, it's just we're ready to go that day. We're up early and then we just go and get it done and then leave the hospital, yeah. But, yeah, other than that, he's just a healthy little boy. His Francis is from grade two onwards, like his teachers at Edgehill State School, they've been really supportive of his condition. So there was one, Miss Donna, she was his grade two teacher, that's when he got diagnosed. She sort of like looked out for him all the time, you know. And yeah, I had his teacher just message me the other day asking about his rheumatic heart, because, you know, no one knows about it, eh? So cause they're going camping next week, and if there's anything that I need to know, I said, no, we take care of everything with the needle, so he's all right, you know. But I just need to get to these needles when, you know, they come around. And when we have to go and do the echo with Dr. Ben, we go and see Dr. Ben. So, yeah, I think we do enough to get ourselves ready to go to get his injection on that day.
Yeah. And has it impacted much of his, you were just talking then about, you know, his school teachers checking in on him, which is really lovely, and you know, him being able to participate in normal activities. You know, it's like it's not, it doesn't seem to be affecting his life in too much of a dramatic way. Would you say that's kind of true, or has it been sort of, has it played a, or had a big impact on his life in his schooling life or activities that he can do or can't do?
Yeah, I think when grade two, and I think, you know, just the, his work, you could see at the beginning of the year, he was all right back in 2018, and then he was diagnosed with it, you know, June, July. So after then, like, his, all his work just went just down. Like, his writing, you know, he had really neat writing, and then it was sort of like all over the place after that, you know. I think all of that, you know, that condition affected him. So I did have to have that, you know, discussion, that talk with his teachers just to let him know what's going on. But other than that, he's been good. Like, his friends, they all know that he has that rheumatic heart. They all know that, you know, he has to go and get his injection. But, I'm not too sure. Well, they're probably not that knowledgeable about, you know, what happens, you know, when he does, you know, get his needle, or how it happens, or where he gets it, you know. But I think at this stage here now, I could say he's all right. He's all right now. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good to hear. And you were just talking about his injections that happen every 28 days, and you know, that's I was reading, it's really important part of the prevention of infections and those sort of things. Is there any sort of ways that you make sure it's on the calendar and the appointments are booked in, or you just make, you know, after every appointment, you just book in for your next session so then you don't miss out?
Yeah, that's right. The nurses are on to it. And I check too, because on those days I have my days off at work. So I look at my, you know, attendance sheet. I can, okay, so his next one's coming up next week, and it will have on my, you know, my timesheet 3 days. So I was like, okay, that's the only 3 day that I take off is to get his injection. Usually sometimes when we get his injection, we go home, straight home. But lately he's been wanting to go back to school. So we'd get to school like maybe 11 o'clock. So he's into that, you know, he's in that stage where I think I'm all right now, you know. I can go back to school. But they say you have to just keep a little bit active so that Vicodin doesn't harden up, you know. I think it's like, they say it's like meant if it, you know, there's, you don't get up and walk around and stuff like that. But that's all. But last, we went to our last injection, but I wasn't notified about the appointment with Dr. Bear, and I was like, I didn't get the memo for that. But yeah. Dr. Ben, he was there. He said, come in, Lynette, and he checked Jaleel's heart, and, you know, he's mild. I think with him, like, we got it on day one. Even though I didn't know what was going on, we got it on day one, as opposed to some kids, you know, running around. They don't know they have their thing. They just know that they're sick, you know. So I think that was that blessing, you know, for that part with Jaleel. You know, when I look at them, I looked at that documentary we went for last Thursday, and sort of like, I just want to cry of what could happen, you know, if you don't get to it.
Yeah, for sure. It's very dangerous. And I think that exactly what you're saying, that was a blessing that you caught onto it early and you're able to get Jaleel treated.
Yeah.
And I was also listening to you speak, there around having a big family. That must have been really helpful and, I guess, a good support network for you both when you first found out about Jaleel's diagnosis and just, I guess, supporting him throughout his journey to today, where he's at today and why he's so strong and resilient.
Yeah, that's right. You know, he's got his cousins, he's got his, you know, small nieces and nephews, and, you know, they know that he has to go to the hospital to get his needle, eh? But, just having my sisters there, you know, they've been really supportive, you know, very strong when I sort of, like, take that dive down, eh, you know. So I sort of like, there were some days I was like, oh man, I can't. Well, it's not about me, eh? You know, this poor little boy, he's got this this disease, this real shitty disease, eh? I think, you know, it should have been gone a long time ago. No kids should be going through this. You know, they should just be running, you know, living their life, playing, not, you know, waiting every 28 days to get an injection. But this is how it is now. I can't change that. But we're on to it, you know. I'm there every date that we're booked in. I think, like, if I miss a day, you know, I think I'd be so hard on myself, you know. But there's ways to catch up, you know, the doctors say, but I can't do that, you know. I just go with what I'm supposed to do to make this little boy good.
Yeah, and that's the most important part, isn't it?
Yeah.
Making sure he's all right. For other listeners that might have been just told by a doctor that their child's been diagnosed with rheumatic heart disease, or maybe they're just early out on their journey, is there any advice that you would give to other families or parents?
Yeah, I think if the direction that they tell you to go to is not right with you, try another way. Don't let it be the only way that they tell you, you know. Like, for instance, we went to the medical center. That wasn't working for us, so I'm going to try something else. I don't know what I'm going to try, but I'm going to try something else, you know, until I get it right for him and for myself. So, and just, you know, we had International Women's Day the other day, you know, last week, and one of the guest speakers that I had, she said, you know, just speak, no matter if your voice shakes.
It's better to just kind of speak up about it if it's not sitting right with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Just speak up, because it's this child that you're, you know, we're going to them people to look after our children.
And I think the, you know, the most important thing is what's best for your child and supporting them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, supporting them through that journey. And you were talking a little bit about how Jalil is today, and, you know, he's come to accept, I guess, or get used to his treatment that he gets every month, and yeah. He's going really well. Tell us a little bit about Jalil and what he likes to do.
He wants to sign up for basketball, so that's what I'm trying to do to get him. But he loves making videos. Well, you know how the little kids and young kids are on TikTok and all that. He made a video and it got over 1 million views.
Oh, really?
Like, what's going on here? I was waiting for that Nike sponsor to come and email me and say, do you want this? But, you know, when I seen that video, I was like, I didn't even know what they were talking about. But I showed one of the other little girls that we stay with. She's the same age, you know, just 1 year younger as Jalil. And she said, oh, that's what they're doing. I was like, I don't know. But, yeah, he does. He's very creative. He likes to draw. He, you know, he plays around with his beat mixer. You see, because I do some DJing on the side, so he taps into, you know, making beats too, you know. So he's we're more art than sporty, you know. So but he's pretty good. He's ready for high school next year. Yeah, he has a good set of friends at school. But he loves his family, you know. He's very respectful little boy. Yeah, you know, I try to do the best. It's just me and him, and, you know, I probably wouldn't have it any other way. But, yeah, you know, there's those days, you know. Yeah, just those days. But, yeah, he's a good boy. He's done a few 5-kilometre runs, you know, with the deadly runners and all that, I think, up here in Cairns. So,
wow.
Yeah, very active because, yeah, he just a little boy that just wants to have fun.
Yeah, well, I think you're doing a wonderful job, Lynette, and Jalil is just a superman given what he's gone through and how far he's come today. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time today and for being open and honest with us and sharing your journey and Jalil's journey with our listeners today, and just wanted to wish you both all the best and thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Tani. Thank you very much for allowing me to have this opportunity. I think it's just, it needs to be told, these stories about these young children with these heart disease. It shouldn't be going on like this, especially in this country.
totally agree with you. And I think you, all the messages and the way you, I guess, shared your journey and led us into your lives in that way highlighted the importance of learning more about rheumatic heart disease and how it's affecting young people today.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tani.
If this episode has brought up anything for you or you need some advice or guidance on yours or your family's CHD journey, you can call the Heart Kids Helpline on 1-800-432-785. To access more information and find out more about the support Heart Kids offers, visit the website at heartkids.org.au. The information in this podcast is not a substitute for medical advice from your doctor or healthcare team. Always talk to your doctor about matters that affect yours or your family's health.